responses. Not getting rid of your responses. We have one more community member that would like to speak. Yeah. Rachel Wells. Wherever you feel comfortable.
Okay. Sorry, I wrote something up, everyone, but I'm also very against killing the environment, so it's on my computer. But that's very me. So this is for all of you. When I first applied to Cornell, my dream school, I remember how excited I was to submit an application to a university that I believed would connect me with some of the most accomplished people from all walks of life. And on my first go-round, I was rejected. When I was finally able to transfer in, I remember how scared I felt. I was entering from another school, another community, and from a very different chapter of my sorority. What I found was nothing to be afraid of. I found instant support in terms of housing, scholarship, and extracurricular activities. It is easy to get lost at Cornell, and when I transferred here with my best friend, she actually ended up transferring back to our old school because she didn't feel like she had a place here. My chapter allowed my dream school to be a dream, and they have provided and entrusted me with the ability to lead and serve, and with that, the responsibility to ensure that the experience of others who accept membership into a Greek organization feel the acceptance and support that I felt. And for that reason, I believed I'm obligated to address you all today. The recent racially motivated hate crimes on our campus are deplorable. It is absolutely embarrassing to be a part of a community where this ignorant mindset exists. I am addressing the entirety of the Cornell community because to place blame solely on Greek life is a narrow-minded approach. The most shocking aspect of this is its occurrence at what is considered the People's University, a school built upon the principle of being for any person. We have recognized and acknowledged these issues from time to time in our history, but still have been far too lenient. We must be honest if we are to make real change. We cannot combat an issue as complex as institutional bias, privilege, and racism with a mandate as simple as the removal of Greek life. But what about the statistics? The Greek system at Cornell and across the country was founded at a time when principles of exclusivity, racism, and heteronormity prevailed. And this ancestry has perpetuated and normalized a culture of privilege and exclusion. But the cancer that bred in this one part of our community has metastasized. If we were to regulate the social behavior of every business group, multicultural organization, sports team, or a cappella group, we would see just how pervasive this accepted mindset of hazing and elitism is, and that we must alter the mindset of our community, not just a few of its organizations. The reason that we have records of misconduct in Greek life is because of the institutions that exist to monitor their social behavior in attempt to correct it. This system is flawed and needs to be corrected for the safety of our students. But in order to do this correctly, we cannot remove one of the many tumors and expect a system to be healthy. While I do not support the dismemberment of Greek life in general on our campus, I fully support removing any and all organizations, clubs, groups, chapters, and teams whose true values go against inclusivity and acceptance, regardless of their revenue potential or social capital for the university and community. All Greek life, all organizations, all clubs and teams should be subject to the same monitoring and development programs to ensure that as a Cornell community, we are producing citizens and leaders that will serve our world in the best way possible. We cannot live in a world that tolerates surface-level fixes for deep flesh wounds. You wouldn't tolerate it for physical health, so why would you tolerate it for mental health and well-being? If we cannot do the dirty work of weeding out the individuals who make this university community unsafe, we must remove the ability for them to group at all. No list of benefits for any organization, team, chapter, or club can counter the argument made when someone's life or well-being is jeopardized. I ask the university and you all to be even more lenient and vigilant in selecting, even more vigilant in selecting students to ensure that any applicant pool for any organization, club, or team will not include those who foster a cancerous mindset of intolerance and hatred. What we hate is not Greek life, but rightfully so, is the failure to be inclusive and open to those who are different. I ask the university and you all to help Greek leadership in that we need resources, programming, funding, and support to ensure that this facet of the university can better represent the student body, especially those who are marginalized. I ask the university and you all to create boards to monitor every single group on campus to ensure that my peers are safe. I ask the university and you all to truly analyze the root cause of why these issues persist instead of making swift decisions that may be band-aid solutions. Our community deserves more than semi-fixes. I ask the university and you all to pioneer a better version of the Greek system for all schools, to show that joining organizations can be beneficial to all students instead of beneficial to some. We have the opportunity to make history and to ensure the next generation of Cornell students is better than we are, and to ensure that as our world gets more complex, we produce students who are prepared to combat systems of oppression and hatred while continuing to provide organizations that allow for a sense of community, service work, academic excellence, personal development, career development, and genuine enduring friendship. I thank you for your time.
Just to kind of chime in with a brief comment, first I'd like to thank our Greek leaders from the Tri-Council for coming, and secondly, for issuing a strong list of action items on how to remedy this problem and work on fixing the Greek culture. So in reference to the investigation, I think the point that SIU was operating as an underground fraternity is relevant, and whether the member was officially recognized by the national organization, he could still be affiliated with the underground fraternity. And then secondly, in the immediate action items, it talks about Tri-Council strengthening the response to organizations that interact with underground organizations and organizations that don't support the mission and values of what we believe here at Cornell. And I applaud those actions and think that the leadership, as well as the students and organizations on this campus, need to follow through with these words and make sure that we as a Greek community are acting in the best interest of students and following through on these action items, because I think they are very important.
Anna Love.
Hi. Okay. Yeah, concerning the responsibility of SIU, I am obviously not qualified to speak on this, but there are some pretty telling Quizlets on the internet. Okay. So I also believe that past cases are indicative of past culture, as was said before. With over 30 open judicial investigations, no one can deny SIU's on that. As someone in Greek life, and someone who loves Greek life, I recognize the exclusivity among other problems of my community. And I personally want to support action against the people who are acting counter to Greek leadership's continued attempts to create inclusive spaces for everyone within Greek life. And as a reminder, I think that the focus should not be on dodging responsibility, but on owning it and recognizing the roles each of us play in the systemic racism that exists on our campus. Today should be about listening and specifically making space for the students of color on this campus, space that they have been repeatedly denied.
Are there any community members that would like to speak? Jesse?
I guess I wanted to echo one part of someone's topic or speech, is that our enemy isn't singularly Greek life. It's the oppressive institutions that Greek life upholds and perpetuates. Someone is right in pointing out that other orgs uphold these institutions as well, but they don't uphold them and perpetuate them to the magnitude in which Greek life does, which is why this conversation is happening right now. And then I want to focus the discussion briefly to the essay resolution on condemning hate crimes and resolution. Yes, we stand with you in that we're talking about calling and condemning this this violence, but we also want to take it further, as I believe you did, and I'm quoting right now, whereas we, the Student Assembly, acknowledge that violence is not merely interpersonal, but also institutional and historic, and be it therefore resolved that the Student Assembly unequivocally condemns all forms of patriarchy, which these racist actions are a manifestation of, and be it further resolved that the Student Assembly calls upon all members of the Cornell community to join us in this condemnation. I believe close to 50 members of the Cornell community, including the IFC and panel president, signed this resolution. Cornell is acknowledging that we all have a hand to fight institutional racism, white supremacy, patriarchy. I get the floor.
I motion to close the microphone and open an amendment to the agenda to put resolution 8 before the Tri-Council presentation.
Second. Is there any dissent?
was that? Who was she?
Oh, no.
I know. She said put resolution 8 before what?
Yeah, resolution 8.
On the what?
On the floor.
Oh. Just put it aside.
To amend line 34 to remove the words one student and replace it with John P.A. Greenwood 20. Scratch the word allegedly. There's second. All right, all in favor of the amendment? Raise your left hands, questions. I motion to have this passed through unanimous consent.
Second.
All right.
We have a few edits. So I motion on line 64 to add another "be it further resolved" clause. So the line reads, "Be it further resolved that the student assembly unequivocally supports all the demands made to the administration by Black Students United and La Asociación Latina."
Second.
Motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Second.
I also motion to amend line 67 to also add after Black Students United by the end of the fall 2017 semester.
Second.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Seeing none, this passes.
Point of information, can you please, as loudly as possible, repeat all three amendments in here, because we don't have a clerk, and this is Pam's recording, so just all three amendments as clearly as possible so they get the resolution.
Okay, strike on line 34, one student allegedly, and replace it with John P.A. Greenwood, 20. Line 64, be it further resolved that the Student Assembly unequivocally supports all the demands made to the administration by Black Students United, La Asociación Latina. And on line 67, after Black Students United, add by the end of the fall 2017 semester.
Motion to vote.
Wait, before we vote, I just wanted to say.
There was a second.
So this is a time where members of the community can come and voice their opinion, in addition to the sponsors.
Yeah, so if community members would like to speak, please just make a line or you can raise your hands and I can call on you. Anyone want to speak on this?
Would any of the sponsors like to speak?
Can we hear the student assembly's opinion?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much to you guys for coming together and doing this. And like, I saw some people kind of attacking this resolution and like going against it and saying that we need to defend free speech and we absolutely like don't need to do that. We need to pass this because that's just offending harassment. And so thank you for actually coming together and like doing a solid concrete thing that's going to somewhat make a change.
I have a quick question. It's kind of a question to maybe make an amendment to this.
Okay.
There was like an article that came out saying that Sayu may be coming back in 2020,
mm-hmm.
and at their house, there was no statement formally made about what would happen to that house. And I know in BSU's demands, they said they wanted the property and they said it would be available to students in the fall of next year. So can we ask for that date? Like, what would happen? Because it's wrong if they give us the space and then take it away. Like, we need to know what's the timeline on that.
Is that last year?
No. That just came out recently.
So an article came out by NBC News that said that the university was considering, or the SIU was considering coming back by 2020.
Yeah. It was 2020. It wasn't the university, was SIU said they were going to be invited to come back in 2020 after all members that were affiliated with the underground fraternity were no longer on campus.
I'm Drew, I'm the IFC president. I'm not aware of that. This is the first time I've heard that, but I definitely support adding something like that into it.
Can you work on language?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Come back.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo that. I think it's great that we added Frontline 64, that we support the demands for BSU and LAL, because I think, like, after hearing all those demands, they're very, very fair, considering everything that's happened. And they're also necessary moving forward if we're trying to bring a positive change on campus. And I think the fact that this resolution also talks about, you know, putting undocumented students as part of, you know, when attacks happen, I think that's also very, very important, because it's also going against the student citizenship on campus.
Olivia?
Yeah, I just have a question surrounding the motion for to add something in Line 64, because I know some of the demands that LAL made cannot be fulfilled by the university, cannot be fulfilled by the fraternity because of the legal team that's preventing them from doing that. So what would be the process for writing that, if you're asking?
Well, this clause says that we unequivocally support
okay.
the demands.
Because I didn't think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Curious, like, is it, we're not, like...
We are supporting, or we literally, legally cannot really do a lot.
Right, okay, that's...
Point of information. Could someone please clearly spell out all the demands?
I have a visitor, actually.
They're online.
I have all the practice.
I think as student assembly members, we should have all read the demands by now.
Yes. Let's read
it. For the sake of making more people aware of those demands. Wait, Tracy.
Well, yeah. Tracy, the co-chair of BSU, is here, and it is online. She doesn't need to say it again.
I'd like to recognize the gentleman in the back.
You have the floor.
Yes.
We should have a separate resolution about, like, demands for the use of the SIU space. I don't know if it's appropriate to put into this one, because I think that if we should have a separate resolution to, like, actually be like, we want this for this and this and this, and, like, actually something to present to administration versus just, like, shoving it in here, like, last minute during this discussion. We can, like, put, like, maybe a clause that's, like, we want that space for diversity and inclusion purposes, and then we can have a separate resolution that really outlines the actual details of a plan that BSU would come up with. I don't know if I'm curious about your opinions on that.
Jesse, first. I mean, this, like, we have to consider, like, the space in Clarksville, right? So BSU, BSU and a lot of people of color need to have time and space to talk about. They deserve a space at the table to talk about that space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's previously a resolution that was entered and that specifically listed out first-generation students and international students. And, like, the student assembly isn't willing to jump to say this space is, because, like, this is predominantly, like, white space. I perceive it. And it's not my job to tell anyone else, specifically marginalized communities, who's going to get it. I'm not going to get that.
Oh, that's not what I was saying. Can I clarify? I was just saying, like, just like we collaborated with the BSU on this resolution, we should collaborate with them and other minority groups and like determining a designation for that space, not just like saying the space should be used for some like general purpose. We should like maybe make it more clear because then there's less loopholes.
Of course, I mean, yeah, Tracy, the co-chair, one of the co-chairs of BSU, was on the assembly last year. She's very familiar with the resolution process, and I think we've been in talks, and they've been talking to the administration, particularly Vice President Lombardi. I had a conversation with him yesterday, personally, about the space, and, you know, the conversations are happening.
Yeah, personally, I think if you put the lines unequivocally support the list of demands, we do have that listed in our demands. It is one of our demands, mm-hmm. So it should start with that clause.
Exactly.
Yeah. We put to the end of the agenda. We have a resolution here, Kiana, that we put in as a placeholder. I don't know if she actually read the end last resolution. We were willing to amend the language. We just wanted something on the agenda as soon as Lombardi sent his message out. And we'd be willing to make it more essentially ambiguous as to what they use it for. Right now, as it's written, it basically asks them to make it into a resource center without specificity. And we were hoping to pass the resolution as soon as possible. But if you'd like us to table it, we can work for the next week on better language.
Yeah, I'd appreciate if that resolution is tabled. Upon hearing that a resolution was made about the space that BSU included on their list of demands, we were quite offended that SA had not met with us to discuss that demand that had already been placed. So if that could be tabled,
right.
Someone could call a motion to table that right now, that'd be great.
I mean, we could table it as soon as it comes up.
Okay.
And we wrote the resolution before the demands were public. We didn't do it to try and go beyond the demands. We just wanted it so that when today came, there would be something on the agenda, which we could amend all the language to if necessary. But if there were no resolution, it wouldn't be here today.
Okay, thank you.
Everyone?
That was it.
Okay. So I'd like to motion to add after like line 68, add be it further resolved that Cornell University fulfills its commitment to students by never recognizing the Chi chapter of Psi Epsilon again.
Second.
Motion to vote by unanimous
consent.
Second.
We know the stand passes.
Motion to vote the resolution as a whole.
Second.
Motion to vote.
Second.
Well, what's the vote on this amendment? Can we see all
of
the
way back? Motion to vote by roll call. Second.
Wait.
No, this is a vote on the vote.
It's a vote to vote.
Are we voting?
Yeah, we're voting to voting to vote. This is not a vote on the actual vote. So all of the people who are invited to
vote. Acting a vote.
What part is I got you?
Okay. Keep your hands on.
We're going to vote by roll call. Did Jamie explain that to you?
No.
Okay, so you are supposed to call out the names and then record their vote. I guess it's like right here. And so it'll be like yes, no, or abstain.
No, abstain.
Well, I could do it if you want to.
I got it.
I'm happy to grill people.
All those in favor of voting?
No.
All in favor of voting?
Amendment.
Yes.
Is that 16? 17? Okay. 17, 1, 1, 9, 13.
All those against? All those abstain?
I have 17, 1, 2.
By a vote of 16, 1, 2, 2.
Okay, motion to move to business of the day.
Second.
Motion to vote. Question?
Motion to approve to business of the day by unanimous consent.
Second.
Now motion to vote.
Second.
All right, yeah, let's not. So now this is in business of the day. We can vote to pass this.
Motion to vote.
Second.
There's been a motion to vote at this time?
Yep.
There's been a motion to vote by roll call.
Oh, by roll call.
Second.
All right, we'll do it by roll call.
Do we have
ready?
All in favor of doing this by roll call?
It passes.
Not the resolution.
Ready?
Say it loud.
Ready? Dale?
Aye.
Thomas?
TJ.
Aye.
Olivia?
Aye.
Omar? Is absent. Varun? Varun?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Matthew?
Yes.
Gabe?
Abstain.
Jung?
Aye.
Lee?
Yes.
Tristan?
Aye.
Alec?
He left, yeah.
Renee? Sarah?
Yeah.
Jesse?
Aye.
Samantha?
Yes.
Christopher?
Yes.
Evan?
Aye.
Dara?
Myra.
Okay.
There's also two community votes.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
We have two community votes. If the majority votes in favor, then two will go in favor. If the majority votes in no, then two votes will go to no. Members, all those in favor of this.
Terrell, can you please read the number of essay votes and the number of community votes?
There were 19. You said read what?
How many essay yeses, how many community yeses, and then how many essay waves?
There were 19 yeses, right? There was one abstention. There were no noes. And then community.
Two
votes, so, yeah.
All right, so this passes. All right, we're going to go straight to the TriCast presentation. Cyril Galen is...
Yeah. Hey, why was you here? You thought that would be a great idea.
Yeah. He's his grandpa. I have a band-aid.
So,
So today we're presenting our plan to you. We printed out 3 copies. Printing is expensive in ILR, so that's all I got for you. But if you could circulate it around, that would be great. You just raise it if you have it. It'll make it to everyone. This plan is our plan on diversity and inclusion in our community. We'll admit it's way long overdue for our community to present a set of proposed solutions, regulations, and educational programs that are meant to enact sustainable, critical, and impactful change for our community. By no means is our proposal going to solve every single one of the issues that are facing our community. It's merely a start. To preface this, nothing we can say or do up here today, or ever, can alleviate the pain that students of color or other marginalized groups on this campus have felt, especially within the past 2 weeks. However, we feel compelled as part of the respective executive boards of the Greek Chi Council to put forth our greatest effort in combating intolerance, bias, and hate within our community as effectively and swiftly as possible. Horrible people are always going to do horrible things. They're always going to exist, and they're always going to congregate. We acknowledge that the Greek system has historically promoted social factions, elitism, and exclusionary behavior. While this is our past, it certainly does not have to define our future. And that's why we're here before you today.
As the Greek Chi Council, we have the ability to regulate behavior and enforce consequences. What matters is ensuring that there are appropriate actions when horrific incidents arise. As our plan details, the scope of the Chi Council's judicial power is not as all-encompassing as some may imagine. As the executive board, we are able to mandate programming, implement educational trainings, create and enforce regulations, and sanction chapters for chapter-specific violations of event management guidelines, recruitment infractions, and minor hazing allegations. However, we do not have the power to expel individual members or revoke the recognition of a chapter. Any investigations, interviews, incident reports, sanctions, and decisions relating to these infractions are handled by the Office of Campus and Community Engagement.
That being said, the Tri-Council Diversity and Inclusivity Plan is our initiative to improve the existing state of the Cornell University Greek system and seek the chance to create long-lasting partnerships which we hope will help reform the community. Never before has the Cornell Tri-Council had a comprehensive diversity and inclusion plan such as this, and never before have we felt more committed to this cause on the behalf of the Cornell community. This plan will not fix everything, and we are aware of that. This plan is just the beginning of a long and hard fight to restructure the cultural core of this system. We did not join this system, or these positions for that matter, to maintain a status quo. As the executive board of the Tri-Council, we aim to create a better Cornell through our roles in Greek life. We strive to make tangible change and improve our communities to our best abilities. We are here today to ask for partnership in tackling these issues, as we recognize we cannot do it alone. We need more voices at the table to create effective and long-lasting change.
Lastly, I just think it's important that we say that we are here not to defend the fraternity community, but to reform it and to make it better. We're here because we want to make a change, and that's what we are trying to make steps to do in this plan. So our goal in this is to, you know, get some practical feedback from you guys and just see what we can do to make this plan better and then to hear just the voices of the people in the room. So if you look at the plan, there's action items that are immediate, and there's also action items that we've gotten the ball rolling that will sort of come into effect later on, and those are just because of the constraints that we have. But yeah.
Joe, can I just say a couple? I just want to take like 2 minutes. I do want to first acknowledge the pain and the frustration, the anger of many of the students on this campus and faculty and staff. But I do want to acknowledge that first. I also want to just say I want to commend BSU for your courage and taking the leadership and doing what you've been doing on this campus for quite some time. The other two things I think I just want to say very quickly is that in terms of this Tri-Council inclusion plan, that there are two things about this. I think, first of all, I want to commend these three and their leadership. I've come to gain a great deal of respect and admiration for them through the time that I've had the opportunity to work with them. So I want to commend them for putting forth this plan. I also want to commend them for, I think, enduring some very difficult times, some things in terms of attacks on them personally that I don't think was necessary or also not part of this community and something that we ought to be doing. So I want to call attention to that. I also want to say that going forward, I think what's really important, and you've demonstrated that actually tonight, is the ability to have some civil discourse, to maybe agree or disagree with each other, but to do it on your own. That moves us forward and allows some more things to happen. I can only say I wish the U.S. Congress could operate as well as you did this afternoon and this evening. It's great to see. The other thing that I want to acknowledge is that I too believe this goes beyond Greek life. This isn't just a Greek life problem. It's also within, it's systemic, it's across our campus in a lot of places, and we need to address that. I think the other thing is, or one of the other things is I think that we as administrators, staff, we have to step up and we've got to do more than of the heavy lifting. More of the responsibility has to fall on us, and we need to do more. We need to do it with you, in partnership, but I think we have to step up a bit more than we have in the past. This isn't a condemnation of Greeks, as it's been said. And just on a personal note, I'll tell you, I met with the young man who was assaulted. I took the time to meet with him, and I also met with one of the young men who was subjected to these racial epithets, who are also both members of a Greek organization. And I have to tell you, I was incredibly impressed with them. They are the kind of people who we want on this campus, and they are Greek. So this is not just a Greek problem, or to say everybody in the Greek system is problematic. So finally, it isn't a Greek problem, it goes beyond that, but I really do appreciate greatly the work that these three have done on this plan. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Welcome to the speaker's list. I hope you have any questions or comments. I'm gonna start with committee members first, Sama.
Yeah, so I just have a quick question. According to Mark, President Collins' statement, she said, I'm directing the head of the interfraternity panel on the council to develop a substantive and meaningful diversity training and education program for all their members to be implemented before this great improvement. Were you given any resources from President Collins or the administration to help three college students to do this?
You're asking me or just
anybody?
Yes, the resources are there.
The resources are there. So there are administrators who are paid like thousands of dollars to help develop this plan. This wasn't just a plan that was made by the head of the Interfraternity Council and MGLC and PANA.
That's right.
That's really important, like to know that this isn't just, not saying that y'all aren't qualified or anything, but yeah, we're saying like this is such a huge problem. It's important for, and I don't know if this is relevant or not, but seeing a statement like this from President Pollack that just says, I'm calling on somebody to do something, when you're calling on the head of interfraternity and can help, like you have administrators and you have people to help out with this. Like, say you're going to give them the resources if you really want to change like this. So that's my question.
Thank you. Joe?
Yeah, I want to echo that point. I really find that, like, the same name's kind of confident. It's not, like,
the same names come up all the time in the same discussions around diversity and inclusion. It's just the fact of this campus. We have certain people who do diversity and not the whole entire campus, and that's the unfortunate part, and I really want to emphasize that this is a whole campus thing, that we can't just have the same Ryan Lombardi in seven different places at once. We can't have the same administrators doing the same thing every time this happens. So I really do think administration also needs to step up and kind of create their own diversity and inclusion plan as well. But the second part is, do you have buy-in from your chapters? Are the executive boards of every chapter in your organization bought into this and are willing to say, this, we accept this, and we will do everything to make sure that they have? And also, I think it would be promising if some chapters also come up with their own diversity inclusion plans, because they each have their own separate issues, because some, you know, have issues with one area and not the other area. So I think it's really important that they also take a look on the individual chapter level as well.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. To answer your first question, there's substantial buy-in. I met with the chapter presidents in Panhellenic this Monday. A bunch of them are here today. And actually, they're signing their own statement, signed for the Panhellenic presidents, reaffirming the BSU and LAL statements that have been previously made. They're working on it right now as we speak. And to also add on, I agree, having individual chapters create their own personalized diversity and inclusion plans is a great idea.
I'd also like to add, I met with the chapter presidents yesterday as well, and we had one of the best meetings that we've had. And I've been at ISU for 2 years. I think it was the best meeting that we had in 2 years. People are, and I want to make this clear, like, I think a lot of the times this is an us versus, like, it's portrayed to be an us versus them thing, and it is really not. Like, I can promise you that the leaders on IFC are so committed to all this work that we put in, and they are, like, disgusted by everything that has happened. And I think that's really important to make clear, because I assume it, I know the chapter presidents, I know how good they are, but I think a lot of times people don't understand that. And they also recognize, which I think you bring up a good point, that these chapter leaders are the best people in their chapters. So, you know, they were elected to this position for a reason. So obviously they're going to buy into this. Obviously they're going to go full force into it. I think, like, one of the best points that we brought up yesterday is reaching those people within their chapters. And there's these people in every student group on campus, and Greek Life is not immune to it, that are the problematic people. So we talked about how to reach those problematic people within your chapter, and how to educate them, how to get them involved, how to bring them to stuff like this, how to get them to buy into the plan. Because I think those are the people that really need to read through this and take a look at themselves in the mirror and really change their attitudes.
Before we go to the next speaker, I'd like to remind guest members, if you guys want to speak, just raise your hand and I'll get you.
So you spoke a lot about how team members and continue to support the work in the union. How can regular people such as myself, people with no leadership positions, support the work in the union?
That's a good question. I think what you're doing right now, you know, coming here and talking to us and reviewing our plan and giving us feedback, and even, you know, when we don't put out a plan, like, keep us in check. Reach out. Don't feel, you know, scared to reach out to us. Don't feel scared to reach out to any one chapter president, even members. Like, it is not on you to educate other people. That's not your responsibility. But if you want to play a bigger part in it, like, you should feel comfortable taking on that role. And I think you're doing the right thing. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to add, like, going off of what Drew said, is stay engaged. So don't walk away from this meeting, or don't go to class on Monday and say, oh, that was last week, I went to the sit-in, I went to the rallies, I went to the protests, and I did my part. Actually read the literature that we put out and give your honest, critical feedback and opinions. We don't think that everybody agrees with this. We don't say that this document is perfect and it's the end all. This is a working document, and this is the start of a very, very long and hard road, because we are talking about dismantling centuries of institutional racism, elitism, and segregation. So I would just say that every day, think about what more can you do a little bit more than yesterday to help work towards having a more inclusive and respectful campus.
Thank you. The lady in the back.
I'm the current chapter president of Hagan High, and I want to affirm what these leaders are saying. And I know the question was, do we really have buy-in from the chapter leaders? I was speaking on behalf of my chapter, and I know Panhellenic presidents, we've been talking a lot the past few days. We are fully supportive of the initiatives of the Tri-Council. We had a
sitting on the committee that's working on revamping the Delta Series, which is the new member orientation program. And so right now we're planning on having this program at the beginning of each semester to make sure that all new members, including MGLC members, are included in these sessions. So three sessions will be at the start of each semester, and yes, we will be training Greek leaders. The facilitators will be the Greek health and wellness chairs who have applied for these positions to develop diversity, hazing, and mental health programming for all of our new members, and also for chapter presidents. Chapter presidents will also be facilitators. Like I said, it's still in development, so I can't give you concrete answers at this point, but we are making sure that we, in fact, Caitlin, Drew, and I have a meeting with the director of IDP next week to make sure that we do have programming that is beneficial and it doesn't just kind of gloss over the issues of diversity, that we actually start to get into the crux of some of the problems that we have on campus. And we've also committed the a portion of the Tri-Council budget to give to IDP to make sure that we can work together to really build and revamp this program. So as we continue to develop it, we will have more answers for you.
Yeah, I just want to add to that that like this isn't something that we just started working on. This is something that's been in the process for months since the start of last semester when we started talking about it, because we realized that once people enter into the Greek system like that, we want education to start right from the beginning. Like, it doesn't need to be something that needs to be held, you know, later on. It needs to start from right from the beginning. So we've been working on it for months to change the program, to make it more interactive, to make sure that everybody is buying, and make sure that every single person who is a new member is getting educated and has this sort of training in the areas that we mentioned, which is diversity and inclusion, hazing, and mental health, because we felt those were the three biggest things that we could discuss.
Okay, so I was going to ask how receptive you thought people were going to be to education, but I feel like you guys already covered that. So, I'm surprised that this is the first diversity plan, like, in all this time. Like, obviously it has existed for a long time, so thank you guys for creating this. And I like that you're calling out KD still, because I feel like people kind of forgot about that, and things need to, like, people need to still be held accountable for actions of the past. And yeah, that's
what I'm. Thank you. Yeah. As a queer student, it is difficult for me to feel welcome in the Greek community. So can you answer why, in your diversity and inclusion plan, there's no mention of gay, queer, LGBT, homophobia, or gender?
Those are the criticisms that we'd like to hear, because that's a really, really great point. And we will definitely look back at it and add some things. And if we could talk after too, like, I'd love to hear your feedback on that, because that's a really great point that you made.
Yeah. Just a side note, part of the model that we're using for the rest of the Tri-Council going forward is a model that was adopted in Panhellenic in the spring. It was called the Sisterhood Project, and it's online, it's on our website. And what that did was essentially every single individual chapter was responsible for designating a committee. That committee was overseen by myself and Sierra Paz, my executive vice president. And every chapter is responsible for picking an area of focus for that semester. So that could have been LGBTQ+, disability, race, socioeconomic status, etc. So, you know, that's a really great point. It's not in here, but I do want to know that, like, our committees are thinking of that. It's just not explicitly said, and that's a problem. So thank you.
Thank you.
I would say that the acoustics in this room, they carry, so if you have side conversations, like, everyone can hear. Becca?
I just want to say that I appreciate you guys coming and putting in the hard work to make all these statements. I just want to raise a concern that I have that these might be futile, just as, like, there's already a lack of diversity in Greek life, which is not kind of obvious to everyone. I just feel like freshmen and sophomore transfers, whoever wants to rush next spring, they're going to be even more, like, afraid to rush because it doesn't feel like a safe space now. And I understand that you're going to make efforts to make it safe, like, feel more safe for them. But I think the issue of the lack of diversity in Greek life is just going to be even further exasperated in the spring rush. And I feel like you're just going to not any fault on you guys. It's just something that's going to happen. You're going to have an increase of non-diversity in Greek life coming up. So I don't know if you have anything you're working on that might also combat, like, your people might have that it's not a safe space.
I mean, that's something we've been thinking about a lot. I mean, specifically, my role is vice president of recruitment. And I know that I started doing this position because I felt like Greek life wasn't as diverse as I had hoped. And this is still a big issue, and it's, you know, this is something that, you know, it's a big topic. And so I wish I had right now, like, here's how we're going to now attract people to this community. But I don't. And the question is, you know, how to work through this and how to, you know, actually implement these and make sure that this is a welcoming community for anyone who wants to join. I think that's the most, that's the first part. So.
Next is Dale. Myra.
Hi. Thank you for being here, and thank you to Drew and Paul for meeting with me on Tuesday in regards to this plan. And obviously, it's like long, so a few things that kind of went over my head, I just want to make note of. There are two, one is like pretty brief. I'm concerned with on page 5, you have established a vice president of citizenship, diversity, and inclusion. What does citizenship mean in this context? Is it membership? And it's just a word that is very loaded. What is that? Oh, and second of all, we had a conversation in regards to Guide on Tuesday, and I was part of Guide in the spring, and we had rent talks, and I got to talk and meet with, you know, potential members, and I think that that was a really cool thing that we did. And in regards to Becker's question of how are we going to make, you know, the upcoming spring recruitment more, you know, accessible, more welcome to people, I don't understand why Guide is a second quarter action. I think it's something that could be started now. And in the past, it's been on the EVPs. And I think for the time being, it's been on the EVPs, and then it could transition to the VPT&I in the spring. But just a thought. I don't think we should wait that long for that.
Yeah. To your second point, so the second quarter is after fall break. I think people might think of it as like second semester, but the quarter starts after fall break. But yes, that's a good point. And I think from now until fall break, we are working on reviving that program, because I think the problem with it last year, I don't know how much that everyone knows about Guide, but it was so concentrated in one person on our tri-council exec board that when she left, it wasn't passed over well. There was a little bit of miscommunication as to who was going to head this program, but it seems like we've talked through that, and we're trying to get it up and running again. So after fall break, there should be some steps in that direction.
And then
third quarter.
Yeah, so to answer your first point, it's actually really great that you brought that up, because that's something that we've been kind of going back and forth on, because citizenship is such a loaded term. What we meant by that was being a Greek citizen and being a Greek member in our community, because a lot of these issues go past even diversity and inclusion, and it's just being respectful to one another. And so that's what we meant by that, but we definitely are working with that title.
I think for people who aren't familiar with the Greek system, terminology is like all over the place, so maybe adding like a glossary of terms, that would help.
That's
a good
idea.
Thank you.
So.
First of all, thank you so much. I read through this, it's obviously very comprehensive, and I think hopefully this will be really effective. I just had a question, and it kind of echoed the same concerns that Echo and Myra had about recruitment, because as a person who went through a panel at Lush, the amount of like classism and exclusivity and that like those like 3 or 4 days is like unprecedented in my experience at Cornell. There are people like asking me like what rock my necklace was, my dad does for a living, where I vacation. So what can you do, or if there are any provisions in here, you think that could actually prevent stuff like that from happening?
I can speak to that. So that's not exclusively in this plan, but I can guarantee we've made a lot of changes this year, particularly regarding formal recruitment for Panhellenic. So I agree with you, there's a lot of classism in that process. And to just give you an idea of some of the changes, you can email me or my VP recruitment, she's here today, with
a longer list of changes that's possible, but for example, teachers on the first day. If someone's unable to afford the fee to go through recruitment and they reach out to us, we cover it. No more like closets, open closets during recruitment. During house tours, those will be filled with just your chapter apparel that we will pre-approve. No more recruitment videos that don't have anything to do with your values. To go on further, we got rid of hometowns on the name tag because we felt that was also kind of weird. Like, why do you need the hometown on the name tag? And just overall making the focus of recruitment less about what you're wearing and more about what you're talking about, who you connect with during that process. I'd be more than welcome, more than open to hearing your feedback on that process and what you think we'd be further doing. But that's just a few of the changes that we're making going forward.
Matt, how are you doing? Chris?
Yeah, so thanks so much for writing this plan. I'm really happy about it. It's really great. But I think it's also very important to recognize that there are other problems in the system that have been tried to deal with and have been similar in your initiatives that have failed. So, for instance, like one problem with the fraternity system has been hazing. And I'm pretty sure, you know, years after there were quite comprehensive anti-hazing policies in place, the students still die from a hazing-related incident, right? So I guess it's like a very broad question, but how will you, and also for everyone who wasn't able to read this plan in detail, how will you ensure that this plan is actually effective and actually does change the system? Because it's like a very, very deep-rooted problem it's trying to deal with, right? So obviously it's not only up to you, right? It's up to everyone within Tri-Council and any member of the system.
I think that's a really good point, and something that frustrates me so much is being on this campus for 4 years and only 1 year in a position and not seeing any change happen with the ideas that you put forward. And I think something that's really hard to forget is to keep this all in perspective. If you look back at Cornell, and if you look back at the Greek system 50, 40 years ago, it is so different. Like the culture that of the Greek community 40 years ago, vastly different from it is today. If you look back 30 years, if you look back 20 years, if you look back 10 years, like this stuff takes way more time to actually come to fruition, like the results of it, than we're here on campus for. And that is a really frustrating thing, and I think it's hard to come to terms with in our minds. And yes, that is a really great point. Like, how is this evaluated? And, you know, how do we know if this is effective if we can't see it happen? But I think what we have to do is just, like, trust that we're putting our best foot forward by enacting these ideas and helping them, you know, come to light and speaking out about these issues and really trying to act on them. And I think eventually, you know, in 10 years, like, things will be a lot better as they have been, you know, improving from the past. And they won't be perfect. There will still be problems. They're definitely not perfect today. But I think you have to trust time, and I think that's a hard thing to do.
Once again, community members, if you guys want to speak at any point, raise your hand, I'll call on you.
I actually slightly disagree with you. I think that there has been evaluable change, and I think that Caitlin's project that she mentioned with, and going back to Pi Chi's initiative, Pi Chi has been like a total model for how to approach these problems. They were proactive about it and have seen numerical increases in diversity in their house with each year of doing their programming. And speaking to my own chapter, I have seen a drastic change in culture. And so I think that, you know, while that might not be satisfactory, and I don't think it should be satisfactory, I think it is at least a step in the right direction, and I do think that change can happen rapidly.
To clarify, I was kind of talking about, like, looking from the outside in on this, but I think Hannah brings up, like, a really good point when, you know, there are people that are in their chapters, and they do recognize this from a year-to-year basis.
Jesse?
I think there's the expectations from, suggested revisions to the office story. I think the expectations of membership should include emotional health. Like if you kind of say, okay, so no language should be used that threatens the mental or physical health of someone else. I think you should include emotional.
Yeah.
So I have two quick ones. Again, I feel like everyone else, thank you so much for putting this plan together. It seems very comprehensive. Like, we understand your students and, like, doing all this and taking all this on. Like, extremely commendable. Just like, a little tiny bit of criticism. It does seem sort of reactionary, the diversity programming that you have and, are thinking about implementing. Like, you are giving diversity programming to members that are already, like, being during initiative, like, what is, like, the new member initiation
what is it called?
Yeah, member education. So like once they're already like members, I guess I'm not really sure, familiar with how exactly the Greek process works, but I think Greek houses, if all these presidents are so on board as you have been saying, like they need to be like making a more concrete effort and kind of, I don't know how to like even, how we even do that, but like evaluating like these kinds of diversity characteristics during rush and not just doing it afterwards. Because like some people like, I know it's like negative, but like people just aren't gonna change. Like certain people just aren't gonna like change their views on things, and like you don't want that kind of culture, because that's what culture emanate out is like those certain people, because like the negatives greatly outweighs the positive in these instances. So I think that needs to be done as well, as making it more proactive versus reactive in diversity training. And then again, echoing the point about how you were saying, Drew, that like your students, like you try to make these changes, you don't see that happen. Like I think that really brings forward the need, like Joe was saying, for like more administrative like support, because they're the ones that are here year to year. Like we're students for 4 years, and like oftentimes you're not in a leadership position until our junior or senior year, and like we can only do so much as students and as student leaders. So like we really need administrative support in making these changes, because those are the people that are here and can see the growth over time. We're not those people.
Yeah, and to that point about checking on students before they're joining these fraternities, when we had our meeting with chapter presidents the other day, that was something that multiple chapters mentioned. Is now something they're thinking about is how to, when students are coming through their doors, be thinking about like who is this student and what is their, how are they going to reflect our chapter? And that's something that's really important, and I'm glad to hear that people are thinking of that in these chapters, and so we're just, going to keep trying to foster that.
A quick response, John, if that's okay. Like, I don't know if that's something that you can kind of, like, concretely state in the plan. I don't know how you would do that, but I think that would be something to think about.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point, and I think this isn't necessarily related to exactly what you were talking about, but I think something you touched on is that lots of the education that we have in this plan is for new members when they come in, so what's happening to the current students right now, and there is a line in the plan, and what we're planning on doing is having a online training on diversity for all members to be completed before spring recruitment. I know online trainings and diversity trainings in general, are not always the most effective, but I think it's a step in the right direction, especially in the time crunch that we're in, and just to get something, out there for all members to react to and reflect on before spring recruitment happens. So that training will be on their minds when they recruit members as well.
And just to add to your initial point, I think about the continuity of this programming for current members throughout their 4 years here. The expectation going forward is that every semester, chapters are going to have to be designating time and efforts towards educating their members. That includes everyone, not just new members. One of the ways in which they're going to be held accountable is that we have end-of-year presentations that are run by the Office of Sorority and Fraternity Life. We have asked in this that there is a specific portion of that end-of-year presentation that's devoted to simply talking about all the efforts you've done in this realm. So that is one of the ways in which we intend to hold them accountable for continuity.
In the interest of time, we'll take one more speaker. Yes.
Thank you, Vanessa. My question is, how do you guys plan to hold chapters and chapter members accountable if they don't follow these changes? Because you guys can put all these things in place, and you can tell them not to put the hometown on there, but really, like, if they want to, they'll do it. And the question is, like, how do you hold them accountable and make sure that there's things in place that if that does happen, it's not just like, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's actual consequences for that behavior.
It's a good point. Yeah. Like, it's true. I think that's one of the most frustrating parts of all of our positions. It's like, how are we going to control the actions of every single one of our members in our community? And the honest answer is we cannot. But you're right, there should be clear punishments in place that if we find there is a violation for something like that, panhellenical, there are recruitment fines, and those go out pretty liberally, correct me if I'm wrong. And yes, there needs to be clear expectations, and then there needs to be clear enforcements to those expectations, and then, there needs to be clear consequences if you're breaking those expectations. So, but that is a really good point, and that is something that we struggle with often too. So if you have any ideas as well, like, happy to hear that.
I want to personally say, I read through the statement, your plans. I was very impressed, and I think I speak for the assembly when I say thank you. This is one of the most comprehensive and practical plans I've seen before by any organization. And I think a lot of community members feel convinced, I hope at least, that this will do, like, it's definitely the right step. So,
thank you. So.
Motion to approve the August 31st minutes.
Second.
Motion to move Alana Byland report to next on the agenda.
Second.
Essentially what happened is after the presentation, during the Appropriations Committee's discussion, and it's in the packets if you turn to the spreadsheet, essentially, while we were looking at the surplus for fiscal year 18 under the category end of year surplus, so it should be the blue line, because it's this color. So in the blue line for fiscal year 18, you should see the number 51,233.31. Does everyone see that number? Or you're now going to see it says to be determined, right? Yeah, okay, so when we were reading that, it said $59,233.31. And so we interpreted that to mean that at the end of fiscal year 2018, which is this upcoming May, there would be a $60,000 surplus for Alana. The Appropriations Committee recommended a funding decrease to make that surplus go away, or partially go away. Technically, even that cut wouldn't make the whole surplus go away. That's why you see $7.50. However, as it happens, that is not the case. Alana will not have a surplus in fiscal in May 2008. In May of 2018, their expenditures show that they will run down their surplus. And so if we were to cut them, we would be actually cutting them. And that was never the Appropriations Committee's intention. And that's why we spoke. And I'm here to motion that we overturn the Appropriations Committee's initial decision. And then after we do that, I'm going to recommend that we fund Alana at $8.10, which is the maximum amount we are allowed to fund on that.
So it's very disheartening to see that we worked on our byline packet. It is over 90 pages, and it's really disheartening to see that the APSCOM committee did not look at all of those pages in depth and fully. To have an appropriations committee that doesn't look at the material that they asked for is very scary, because all of these student organizations, our college experience is whether or not we have these resources from the student activities fee. And it's not fun having your whole summer be about a student organization at a college campus that you're not even at over the summer. And we spent a total of over 50 hours working on this byline funding packet. It's not fun having to sit there and type up and give 90 pages of material just for you not to look at the full, all the pages, like every single page is important. So yeah, having to be here is just more time for someone of color in this climate to have to go through. And yeah, it's it's a lot of distrust now, and I think I was like, that's a vote on it because the app's kind of making a mistake.
Yeah.
And not us, so.
Joe?
Thank you. I agree with you. I thought it was pretty clear just looking at the two things. It's like
that's changed.
I know it's changed, but I thought it was still pretty clear. It was 90 pages, and I really do seriously question now how effectively is APSCOM looking at everyone? It's a concerning question. I mean, this is one of the largest organizations on this campus, and I do have a question about it. I'm not questioning the legitimacy of APSCOM. I'm just asking the question. It's 90 pages. They did a good job, but I do want to ask the question. Like, you know, how intense was this? Because to me, it seems pretty clear, but apparently...
Guys, if you want to criticize me, that is fine. I will take it in any... I'll take it publicly if you want. But can we just vote to give them their money first?
Point of order. We need to make a few clear motions here. One, to overturn the decision. Two, then to decide the allocation. We have about 5 minutes to this and two more resolutions. One motion at a time, please.
Motion to overturn.
Second.
Second.
No, okay. This is about you guys.
All right, motion to fund Alana at $8.10.
Second.
Second.
All right, all those in favor. All those against? Abstentions? By vote of 19-0-1, passes.
Motion to
second. I second the motion.
Second. Y'all, am I going to get my comments?
All those in favor of extending our meeting to 6:45, bring your budgets.
Guys, we have a lot of important stuff. You can take 15 minutes.
All those against?
Sorry, I thought you meant against.
All those against?
Yeah.
Sorry, we literally don't have time to speak. Guys,
you got it. All those against, raise your hand one more time. All those against. So you guys are my favorite.
Oh, wait, no, it's fine.
All those are staying. I have a vote of 13, 3, 1. Is that okay? Guys, yeah, we extend to 6:45.
Okay. Motion to move on to the resolution. So we have time to come back to a discussion on that.
Okay.
All right. Motion to table resolution 6.
Second.
Indefinitely.
Second.
The bylaws amendment will go over this. Is there any dissent to table it's indefinite?
It's literally going to be replaced by another resolution.
Cool. Let's see y'all. We're going to
resolve. All right, we're going to go to resolution 9.
Seven.
Or is it seven?
Motion to table resolution 7.
No, we need
to dissent.
We need to reintroduce it.
After the request.
No,
that's
resolution
9.
No, they're not here.
It's
automatically
tabled.
Motion to put resolution 7 on
the table. Second.
Oh, yeah. No one likes it.
You said
it. Okay. So we tabled resolution 6 indefinitely because that was a statement policy that was going to go into the standing rules. And then we're now moving to resolution 7. Dale, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So very quickly, to understand, this is going to go into the bylaws. If we approve this, a bylaws amendment requires that it be on the agenda the week before it's actually voted on. So we really want to introduce this quickly today and have an actual discussion. The reason that we actually table the other resolution and want a better one is so that the incidents of Saturday don't happen again, where the executive committee doesn't know how to handle producing a statement so that a vote on a statement happens in an official capacity. Because of the time, I don't think it's a good idea to have an in-depth discussion on this today. We can, in the next week, discuss exactly the language that we want to have in this, and at next week's meeting, we can have an actual amendment process on this resolution, and then pass it next week and put it in the bylaws. And this is meant to be not restrictive, but very clear on exactly how statements will get put on social media and on our Facebook page. If there are any questions on the process, I would love to take those now. If there are questions on the language, I think those should wait for next week.
Motion to amend.
I don't think we should amend this today.
However, I have suggestions.
I really rather not.
Motion to table.
I think we should have this discussion while we're still here. Like, obviously, like, so many things occurred because we didn't have a structured process by which we execute our votes and by which we execute discussions. And I think that we need to have this discussion now. And by the time that the next meeting comes, we can have those amendments.
Second.
All right.
First one speakers, this is Jesse.
Yeah, all right, so I think the executive committee needs to have a deadline by which to agree on the statement or vote. And I think 3 hours before 9 p.m. on a weekday or 12 hours after 9 p.m. Would suffice. And then I haven't gotten through the rest of it. That's my first suggestion.
Travis?
I wasn't here for this, but I don't think necessarily that a statement can be posted just because exec agrees to it unanimously. Just because there are so many voices on this assembly, and like, for instance, a good example is, I think there was unanimous agreement on the resolution, I think it was the last one, that was regards to the space, and clearly, like, people were in talks with BSU that were not on the exec, and it was about to be posted, it was about to be released, so I think I don't think it should just be executive ruling. I think it should just be always sent to the assembly, and then we do have to work on logistics and giving a date, time, and making that very clear.
And I think we could discuss more of that language specifically, but that was also supposed to be a way that executives post other things. So let's say they want to post just something about, oh, we're meeting in this room next week. Is that an official statement? Should exec have the power to post on the Facebook regardless? And so we wanted the language to be as clear on that as possible. Like, exec should have the power to put things on the Facebook page without consent of the entire assembly.
Like, but if Sarah was going through, like, a marketing push, like, we don't want the whole assembly to have to go through the bureaucracy of approving every marketing message that Sarah posts on Facebook.
And so it'll be conventional that any statement whatsoever like that should go down to the assembly. And we can discuss a better way to put that language
okay,
in here.
Yeah.
And that's what this next week is for. Okay.
All right, that's this week.
Yeah, so I just wanted to speak to Jesse Pollard's point that there should be a deadline. If we impose a deadline, then you'll just encourage someone to vote no, which will like kill it automatically. So you might as well just kind of, like, there's no point in imposing a deadline on this. It should just be like as soon as exec agrees, and if they don't agree, then like if a single person votes no, then it goes to the assembly. So I don't think a deadline's necessary.
Well, in the case of this past weekend, we needed a statement out there fast, right? Because
yeah.
I mean, honestly, a lot of people in this room actually, again, please say for me. And some of my friends, we didn't know if we were gonna have like a race riot, right? We didn't know if we were gonna have a riot. We didn't know what was gonna happen. Like, I'm not serious. Like, people were hurting, right? And we felt that the essay statement, that needed to come out fast, not to like prevent the riot. But I'm saying that like people were hurting, and we need to affirm that, in however way we could. And essay statements, university statements have a history of not doing that. Past 4 weeks have been really hard on a lot of different people, and I do think that there are cases like this weekend where exactly how fast the speed of the response is important.
Thank you.
Myra?
My
comment kind of goes off of what Jesse said. In terms of a background of why this group of majority-minority students had to come together, it was because people on exec did not craft a statement after, a day and a half. That's like 36 hours. And that's why it was so important for it to get out fast. It was because we didn't act fast. So I appreciate it that if this deadline of 36 hours, which doesn't really seem like a deadline because it's such a long time, that deadline starts from the time that we meet this, that an incident happened to when we need to get a statement out.
Just a point of introduction. Exec did initially state, like, immediately, once the statement was originally released, there was an exec meeting, and we were immediately called upon to write a statement, and the statement was crafted. But then there were personal conversations so there was interworkings, like, immediately. I don't want to, like, think, like, nobody was just, like, yeah.
I didn't expect people to just, like,
okay.
Whatever
about
it. It was just, like, it didn't act fast. And I think we're all kind of aware of that.
Yeah, so let me just first respond on that. I like to take ownership of that first of all, because on that day, what happened was everyone was in just different places,
yeah.
Just out of nowhere, right? We did a video call with exec, only four people were able to get up to the hall. At that point, if this caused all the problems, then I do responsibility, and I apologize personally. I asked Travis to kind of I asked Travis and I ran to Alec as well.
Oh.
To kind of help with the statement because I know personally that I am not as in tune with the climate as some of our peers here, right? And I requested that, and I realized that the burden on Travis and Alec and you and the rest of you guys. So I apologize for that, but then I do want you to know that we do care. Like, I care.
So I just want to also respond, like, obviously with the recent situation, which, like, came up with Resolution 9, like, exec moved too quickly, And then with this situation, there's sort of a feeling that exec moved too slowly, which is why that we're trying to create this resolution over here, by which as a committee, we can come together and decide upon a process and upon a speed at which it makes sense and is reasonable for exec to move and for the rest of the assembly to move as well.
TJ? So just to speak to the point that Jess already brought up, I completely agree that there need to be some sort of like time limits, both on responding to a particular incident, but also maybe time limits on like our working hours of approving a statement. So for instance, if someone's trying to approve a statement at 1 a.m. and like no one's awake, which like doesn't happen, but if someone's trying to approve a statement at 1 a.m. and you don't wake up until like 10, it's hard to like give input on that statement. For instance, this past Saturday, I was doing something for like the 4 hours between the statement being introduced, it being like published, and then there being a lot of discussion about it, and I just like didn't even know that we were writing a statement. So I think knowing when we're going to be looking at these statements and talking about them would be extremely important, and that's something I look forward to talking to Jesse about so that we can have an amendment for this next week.
I mean, there is a time limit in here of the 36 hours after exec gives it to the assembly, but there is no time limit on exec's approval of any inputted statement. And there should probably be some time limit. If exec votes yes or no, I'd be even considering maybe directly going to the assembly then.
And to emphasize, that statement doesn't necessarily have to be written by exec. It can be written by anyone in the community and sent to exec. From there, exec likely will not vote to because of that unanimous like stipulation. It is very, 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 very unlikely that you will see a unanimous vote to pass that. Something that comes from the community, 99.99999% of the time, will be passed back to the assembly as a whole. The reason that we have this, once again, is so you don't have to go through the bureaucracy of marketing pushes and things like that.
Can I just clarify?
Yeah, you do one.
Yeah, I just mean, like, we should have, like, working hours, like, we'll be approving statements between, like, 8 a.m. and maybe, like, 12 p.m., like, something like that. Like, that's when we're voting on whether to approve statements.
Well, I mean, the 36 hours would always cover those times of day.
What are you saying? If the session starts at 2 a.m. in the morning and people say, okay, let's go, and like, no.
That won't happen because of the 36 hours.
Point of information. It's kind of what I said. That was my suggestion. But
it was great information. Also, like, is there a time limit? Because I don't trust future executive board members, right? So it's like, what's to stop them from writing something really quick and pushing it out? And, like, preventing, like, okay, a community member statement might not arrive in time, right? Just like I'm just coming up with hypotheticals because this is policy important. So I don't know. So like, what protections are you gonna put in place so that like the rest of the SA or the rest of the community has like a voice?
I mean, I don't think there ever could be the protection. This is an elected democratic assembly. I don't think you could ever say in the future they don't have the power to put statements out on their own.
I mean, I don't say that you don't have the power to put statements. Like, that we, the assembly and the execs said, like, you don't have the power to put them out. I'm, like, criticizing, like, the executive board's, like, ability just to put them out by themselves.
So what we can do is we can encourage individuals to reach out to members of the affected communities or stakeholders.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like we can't be autocratic with every little thing because you're going to miss little things, and then once you get to, like, that point of being too nitty-gritty,
yeah,
then you make, like, mistakes.
Okay, I'm gonna limit everyone's speaking time to 45 minutes. Gabe?
Okay, so I just so that everyone's like, Sam, were you on the first speaker's list?
Was I on, like, the speaker's list? Like, I've been putting my thing up.
This is my second.
I didn't get you.
Okay.
Alright, I yield my time to Sam, but maybe I second.
My thing is just really quick. Like, I know we're trying to act fast, and I know we're trying to, at the same time, not make mistakes. But I feel like we're talking about these resolutions that come up for emergency situations. Like, we're just going to check a box and do a statement. Like, it should be more than just checking a box. Like, we should actually be passionate and have an opinion and really, like, take time out of our days and do this. Because that's why we were elected. If not, like, why are we even here?
And I think that's why we have that time limit.
And, of course, we have the first stipulation that if there is no 100% urgency, it should be in a clear written statement that we can all put our time and energy into and pass as a sense of the body resolution, which then always gets sent to President Pollack. And those are how we're supposed to be stating our opinion. These Facebook things are only supposed to be for emergencies. When we want to show what we believe in, that's the best way to do it, and that's the way it carries the most power for students on campus as well as for administrators. Chris?
only thing that was wrong with the statement was, like, that was put out was like two sentences. It was incredibly powerful. I think it was incredibly important that it went out. And just because there were like two sentences in there that like referenced other issues or attacked a certain one specific individual, like the entire issue it was addressing got caught up in this whole other debate, which had nothing to do with the incident that occurred. So I think it's really important, I call on everyone who writes these statements, to be very specific and really focus on the issue that you want to address and not try to get anything else in there that'll just really sabotage your own efforts.
So that was something that was brought up during the discussion, and community members or members of the assembly felt like it was pertinent to the statement, so I don't think that we can stipulate, like, hey, like, this is exactly, like, what is pertinent to a situation. Like, everyone comes from a different place and experiences different things, and they have different perspectives of what is pertinent to a situation, and I think we should respect that.
Okay.
In the interest of time, we'll table this, because we have to get to the next couple things.
Second. Can you just say that as the second?
With that, I would like to quickly bring up Resolution 9 and ask for that to be tabled indefinitely.
Second.
And a motion to table the Women Resource Center byline allocation for next week.
Second.
With that, we can have 1 minute for announcements and reports.
Okay. CRP, I'm going to submit a resolution next week. And then sprint planning, required meeting this Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. I have a location, I'll send that out. It's in Baldwin Smith. Are you on the listserv officially with Dita? Okay. Can you give me your net ID after this? Okay, so that's going to be from 3 to 5 p.m. It's required. If you have an excused absence or excusable absence, please send that to Dale. And then, like, make sure you're checking your tasks, like, on LinkedIn. Like, you don't want to be the person that did nothing for the task that you either signed up for or, like, were assigned to. We'll just speak on Monday.
Okay.
DJ?
So on Monday, the first meeting of the Campus Planning Committee, during that meeting, VP Lombardi came forward and gave a brief presentation on the Cornell Master Housing Plan, undergoing changes. So essentially, they're planning to provide like 2,000 new beds for sophomore housing on North Campus. They're hoping to get community input from undergraduate students either in mid-October or November. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, that is something that is on the administration's mind. It's something that they're starting to work towards. Concerns were raised at the meeting about whether these buildings are just going to like mimic existing structures on Cornell's campus or actually like maybe try to be more efficient, more leader friendly, that kind of thing. So that's another thing that the Campus Planning Committee is aware of and is working on with the administration.
Thanks. With that, thank you everyone. This was a very
if you still have them, you please put your name on the meeting packet and put your placard around it.
Okay, anybody who is interested in learning like what happened at AppsCon and like why that happened, I believe like if you are interested in discussing that, I'll be right here to answer any questions.
Guys, we're going to have three things for exam. We'll be very quick.